This is a Media Lab podcast. Welcome to Putting It Together, the podcast that goes through the entire body of work of Stephen Sondheim, show by show and song by song. My name is Kyle Marshall, your self-described Sondheim expert. I'm really excited for today's episode. It was something I was originally not going to do, but then longtime guest on this show, multi-time guest on this show, Christine Chen mentioned to me while we were talking, I think after we had recorded our episode this season, about how I should consider talking about all of the different recordings there are of the show that I'm talking about in that season. And I thought that was such a great idea that I was like, yeah, let's just add that on to the end of our season and have a more fuller discussion about that, about the actual recordings of the shows. Unless you are in the Andrew Lloyd Webber camp, where it seems like a lot of his shows just run for multiple years. When you take a look at Phantom of the Opera or Cats, you really have the original Broadway cast. And unless there's a movie that's made, and I'm not aware if there's been a movie made about either of those shows, but if there was, there would be a recording, of course, of those. But unless there is a chance for them to do a revival, then there's not necessarily going to be multiple recordings from the same show. This is in part what I love about Sondheim, because most of his shows only run for a year or two, and there's a chance for them to be revived and have London versions and film versions and multiple Broadway versions, so that you can actually hear different performers do the same material. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't, but at least there's this ability for theater to live and breathe and hear different voices, both creatively and, like, specifically different voices singing the songs. And that's something that I really do appreciate. Now, if you go into the Wikipedia page, just on there for Follies, they mention 14 major editions of this show. Now, not every single one of those had a recording made for them. Recordings are expensive to do. It's also in part why the original Broadway cast of Follies is as truncated and cut up as it is. It's expensive to go and record an entire Broadway album, especially when it is not the highest selling types of music out there either. You have to really convince people that they're going to get a return on investment. I do think it is very special that Sondheim has been able to have an original Broadway cast recording of every single one of his shows. That is not necessarily true for every single person out there, unless you're spending your own money to do so. In today's episode, though, I tried to find as many different versions as I could. Some of them were hard to find. So I have basically come up with 6 different versions of the show. 3 of them, of course, we talked about here this season, but the other 3, I want to talk a little bit about what they bring or don't bring. So that's what this episode is about. We're going to be talking about the specific recordings of Follies, and this is something I hope to continue for each successive season, and potentially I'll be able to go back in time and do it for some of our previous seasons as well. But I'm going to go thank some sponsors. When I come back, I'll be talking a little bit more about some of those Follies albums. Putting It Together is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. The Alberta Podcast Network promotes and supports Alberta-made podcasts and connects their audiences with Alberta-based businesses and organizations. This episode of Putting It Together is brought to you by CPA Alberta. It may be cliche to say by now, but we really are living in unprecedented times. That's why you should consider hiring a chartered professional accountant, also known as a CPA, to help guide you through this pandemic and jumpstart your recovery. With a CPA on your team, you can be confident you will find the best solutions to even your biggest business problems. CPAs are trained to dig in and truly understand how an organization operates, where it's already excelling, and how it can be better. For an inside look at how Alberta CPAs are supporting their clients through the pandemic, follow CPA Alberta on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. You can also visit cpaalberta.ca to find out more. This week, we're also brought to you by the Alberta Forest Products Association. Let's hear a little bit more from them.
Alberta's forests matter to all of us. That's why Alberta's forest industry works to keep them sustainable now and for future generations. By planting 200 years ahead, helping control the spread of fire and disease, and planting and nurturing 2 trees for every 1 harvested, we keep our forests standing strong. To learn more about how our forests take care of us and how we take care of them, visit loveabforests.com.
I'm Sally Durant, plumber. I was a Weissman girl. It was so glamorous, all those eyes looking at you. It's going to be a lovely party. I'm so glad I came.
To steal from another composer for a moment, let's start at the very beginning. That's a very good place to start. And we're going to talk about the 1971 original Broadway cast recording of Follies. Now, Sondheim, as we mentioned kind of throughout this entire season, is pretty negative when it comes to this show. It was a bit rushed. It isn't as full as you would hope it to be. A lot of the orchestrations are missing. Many of the songs are cut up where there's like certain stanzas that are just removed completely. There are certain songs that are just left off the album for seemingly no reason. It's a bit of a hack job to something that I now consider, and this might be a bold statement, I think Sondheim's best score. It's not my favorite show. I don't think it's even his best show, but I think just start to finish with all the different musical pieces that there are there and that beautiful orchestrations that we need to very much thank Jonathan Tunick for is phenomenal. I really love Follies and the way that it sounds, and I don't think you really get that necessarily from the original Broadway cast. Now, that doesn't mean it's a total wash. I think that there are some great moments on this album. For me, this was an album that I actually purchased on iTunes. I may be an Apple fanboy, I apologize, but that is how I get most of my music, and usually actually where I stream it from as well. But that is how I own it. It is the digital copy of this album. And I don't know if I ever explicitly said this on the show, but there's a couple of Sondheim shows that for whatever reason I came to pretty late in my love affair. Follies is definitely one of them where I certainly knew a bunch of the songs beforehand, but I was not as knowledgeable about the score in total. And really, I didn't delve into Follies a whole lot until, I don't know, a few years ago, 10 years ago or so. And even then, it was like a couple of listen-throughs that I did. I didn't really do a deep dive. And part of that was, again, I'm an old, and I was not, you know, delving into the dark web to try and find a production I could watch of Follies. So I really didn't know what was going on. Even reading the write-ups, I still didn't really truly understand how the show operated just on a simple plot level. I think it is something that you have to watch a few times to really fully get. I actually somewhat kicked myself because there were certain episodes that while I was editing them, because I had, you know, been diving into the show so much more and been re-listening over and over and over again and watched a couple of renditions of Follies, it finally clicked to me a little bit more how the songs operated, how they fit into each other. So there's certain things I just didn't say in the episodes, which I wish I could have. Maybe that's just an excuse that once we get to the end of this project, we just start from the beginning again and go through the whole thing. But regardless, I will say this. The 1971 original Broadway cast recording is fine. It's good. It's fine. It is the exception to the rule, though, where I usually do like the original Broadway cast more. It is not the case when it comes to Follies. I think overall, if I was going to give this a letter grade, I would give it a B-. But having said that, there are 2 standout songs for me. I still think that just the opening has never been done better. Like just the whole overture into Beautiful Girls is so good. And I don't know if like Sondheim just made it a point of making sure that they got at least that point right so it can carry you through the rest of the songs. But it's exceptionally well done. I love the Roscoe that they have. I can't be 100% sure, but it sounds like he has an accent of some kind. This is me not being able to necessarily be able to localize specific accents. It's a Spanish or Italian, I think. Or I could just be completely making that up. Someone will have to correct me of what accent that is. Maybe it's just a fake accent that the actor is throwing on there. Regardless, Beautiful Girls is good. I'll also say this is the best version of I'm Still Here. No other actress has been able to perform this like Yvonne DiCarlo. And I think part of it is that Yvonne DiCarlo's life was somewhat the basis of some of the lyrics in that song. So it's coming from this very true place inside of her. And so when she sings about all this stuff that she's gone through, I am with her and I believe it every single step of the way. There's some like movie franchises, right, where the original film is just, it's just so good. It captured a time. It was maybe the lightning in a bottle a little bit. And as good as maybe the sequels are or adaptations are, it's never quite as good as the other one, even though that they can be great in their own right.
I've run the gamut.
That's the original Broadway cast. I'm going to go in chronological order here for the rest of these versions. So the next version I want to talk about is the 1985 concert version. The original Follies was basically panned. I guess the best you could say about it was that it had mixed reviews when it originally came out on Broadway. By the time the 80s came around, it had definitely garnered a much more enthusiastic response to it. There was a following to it. I don't know if you would necessarily call that a cult classic, but people were loving Follies. And people knew that the original Broadway cast did not include the entire score. Sondheim always wanted there to be an addition that people could listen to that was the complete score from start to finish. And so they got this all-star cast to come aboard this 1985 concert version. Just talking about the four main leads here, Buddy was played by Mandy Patinkin, Sally was Barbara Cook, Ben was George Hearn, and Phyllis was Lee Remick. Like, you have some huge heavyweights inside of this cast. And I have to say, it is phenomenal. The unfortunate part about it is that it's not streaming anywhere. There are some tracks that were uploaded to YouTube, but even there, there are some copyright flags that got put on it, so not every song is available, and not in all countries either. So at least on streaming, it is really not available. You can't purchase it, you can't stream it, it's just not available to do it that way, which is too bad, because it is really, really good. So what I ended up doing in the year 2020 is buy a physical CD from Amazon, which I didn't want to, but I gave money to Amazon. They shipped it out to me. And then I realized that I do not have a CD drive in my computer. So it took a few weeks for me to hunt down a friend who would lend me their little contraption that I could plug in, put in the CD, burn it onto my computer, sync it into my iTunes, which then puts it up into this cloud-like structure. I don't understand computers, but then it's on my phone. So now I can listen to it whenever I want. And we talk about the times that we're living in currently. And I don't want to get into like a sad tale of the reality of the world here right now. Please go out and vote, people in America. There was something therapeutic, maybe, of listening to this concert with an audience. And when certain songs finish, rapturous applause starting, it moved me to tears a few different times. I was there in my bed. I had my headphones on, my big headphones on, sitting in my bed. And just the opening to Beautiful Girls, and the place erupts when people walk out onto the stage. And you hear things like Elaine Stritch doing Broadway Baby and people just losing their minds. I just did a pun and I didn't even mean to. And then you get to Losing My Mind with Barbara Cook and people like just like they are in this production. People are loving this production. And it just had this like, it just hit me right in the gut. I want to be in a crowd, in an audience so badly and be able to experience live theater once again. And hopefully I'm going to be able to do it someday. So as I said, this is a wonderful recording. If it was your very first time to listen to Follies front to back, I actually would not recommend this version, mostly because I'm the same way with like rock bands. Like their live albums are not what I would start with. I would do like their studio albums first, understand what their sound and everything is like, and then like delve into their live stuff, even as good as they are, like with the Talking Heads and stuff like that. It's better to go and listen to the studio albums first. So for me, at least, if I was to give this a letter grade, I would give it the letter grade of A. It is so good. And to spoil the surprise, it is my favorite recording of Follies. But with a little asterisk beside that, we're going to get to another rendition here in a moment about what I actually think might be the best version to listen to first, which I know is going to be controversial. But the concert version, A. The two standout songs for me, another controversial opinion, perhaps, the first one not so much, is Elaine Stritch's version of Broadway Baby. I think it's the best version of that song. It is made for her to sing. And you, again, can hear how the crowd is loving it the entire way through. They're laughing at the right jokes. She's inflecting it in the right spots. She is a Broadway baby. I love it. It's great. The other one is a more controversial opinion because I have seen actually a few people online say how much they dislike this version. But for me, I really do like Mandy Patinkin's version of Buddy's Blues. He goes full ham in it. He is doing all the voices. He is like super overacting. Like it makes me tired just listening to it. And I've seen like a small clip of him doing this performance because this was actually filmed as well. And it's exhausting to witness him do this performance. But it's also unlike any other version of Buddy's Blues, I find. You really start to see that the cracks in Buddy's character are starting to form. I think you see that in all the other characters. And I feel that Buddy so often is actually portrayed very, like, super low-key. And then he only has that slight breakdown of, like, oh, shit, at the end of The Right Girl. So if you have a way to play CDs, then I would definitely recommend trying to hunt down a version of the 1985 concert version of Follies because it is really dang good.
Thank you for the present, but what's wrong with this stuff? Woo! Don't come any closer, because you know how much I love you. Feelings, love, blues. Those, if you will, then I can't. If you won't, then I gotta give it to me. I don't want it. If you won't, I gotta have it. High, low, wrong, right. Yes, no, black, white. Tell me that you love me. Well, you did. I'll see you later.
So then next up, a couple years after that concert happened, they had the very first London version of Follies, the 1987 London version, which has become pretty famous, well, infamous, I guess we could say, where producer Cameron Mackintosh asked Sondheim to write four additional songs. They cut out some of the other songs in the last half of the show, restructured where those songs fit, and what occurs is a really just odd version of Follies. I think, honestly, having really thought about this over the last couple weeks, is that there's that element to it of messing around with the actual Follies score and book. I think the really true thing that doesn't make this work ultimately for me is that they don't cast a bunch of great singers. And that's a hard thing for me to say because I don't think you need great singers for it to be a great theater piece. I mean, I think about Glynis Johns in A Little Night Music, and while she may not be the best singer, she nails Send in the Clowns. However, you'd still need to nail it. So if you are not like the strongest of singers, you still have to bring that emotion and that passion into it. And this feels just so mean, but I just don't think that the four leads actually get to there, with one kind of small exception, as you'll see here in a moment. So the more times I've listened to this score specifically, it's not one that I intend to kind of revisit. Weirdly enough, it is one of the ones that is available to stream almost everywhere, and certainly you can download this off of iTunes and stuff too. I don't know why this version is available and the 1985 version isn't, but that's copyright for you. It gets really weird and awkward the more you delve into it. So overall, and this is going to sound like so awful, but I'm going to give it a C minus as a letter grade. I don't think it's outright like the worst recording of something I've ever heard, but when you know how good Follies can be, this just feels lesser than. That being said, there's two songs I think that are standouts. The first being Country House. I've said this repeatedly. I love that song. I think Country House is a great Sondheim song that does not belong in Follies. So I feel like this will be a part of a playlist I can make for myself. I think Country House is just well acted. This, of course, was a version of Follies that had Diana Regas Phyllis. So she and Daniel Massey, who is playing Ben, do this phenomenal like one-act play in song form that is phenomenal. The other one, which is perhaps a little controversial, is I actually do like, maybe it's because I have a big love affair for Diana Rigg, but I think her version of Could I Leave You is one of the best. I really do enjoy her version. Would I say it's the best version of it? No. But I think it's a strong, strong contender to be in like the top two or three. The spinach and all of our friends, and just wait a goddamn minute. Oh, leave you, how could I leave you? Sweetheart, I have to confess. Could I leave you? Yes. Will I leave you? Will I leave you? Yes. So the 1987 London version gets a C minus from me. Next up is the 1998 Paper Mill Playhouse version of Follies. This entire production is available on YouTube. You can listen to the entire thing. And that's basically how I listened to it here, is I just went to YouTube, clicked on the playlist, and was able to listen through the whole thing. As far as I can tell, there is a CD version that you can purchase, but this is also not available on any streaming service that I could see. That might be a Canada thing, I don't know. But it wasn't available in any other places that I looked here. I'm not a huge fan of this version either. I feel the only way I can explain it is a thinness to the music. Like, it doesn't feel as fully orchestrated as I want Follies to be. And once again, although the singers are good, I just don't think that they're the best suited for the roles that they're cast for. So what comes off is like decent renditions, but not like great renditions of these songs that I've now heard multiple times on other recordings. That being said, they do something that another version of Follies that we're going to talk about does that I think is such a great addition to it. So in Live, Laugh, Love, specifically, when Ben is starting to forget his lines, there's actually someone in the wings somewhere that's like shutting out what he's supposed to be singing. And I think that is such a great addition to that song to truly make it feel like the actor has forgotten what they are supposed to be doing up on stage. It's perfect. It's beautiful. I think it's just really, really well done. Even with that small little flourish, overall, I would probably give this a C+. Better than the London version. It does not reach the level of other versions of Follies. There's two standouts that I want to talk about, though. I think this is the best version of You're Gonna Love Tomorrow, Love Will See Us Through, like that dual song that happens as we kind of come out of Loveland and are going into the Psycho Follies. It really feels like that old-time song and dance number you would hear close to a Rodgers and Hammerstein tune that Sondheim originally envisioned this as being. It feels the most accurate in this version of Follies. There's also this instrumental song that they add in between The Road You Didn't Take and in Buddy's Eyes called Bolero de Amor. I don't know if Sondheim wrote this, to be honest. I'm assuming that he did, but I don't know that to be 100% true. But it's a fun little instrumental tune that kind of just breaks up the score a little bit. that I enjoyed. It was good. But overall, I'm not a huge fan of this 1998 Paper Mill Playhouse version. This brings us to 2011. This is actually the second Broadway revival. There had been one in 2001 that basically cast a bunch of non-singers in the roles and was pretty panned from what I remember. And there was no recording of that version as far as I know. But this 2011 version is somewhat famous because this is the one that has Bernadette Peters in the Sally role and was pretty successful at the time. Now, just to get it out of the way, I am one of the biggest Bernadette Peters fans. I'm a stan for Bernadette Peters. She should not be Sally. She was a Phyllis if there ever was a Phyllis. She should have been cast in the Phyllis role. However, does she sing her part beautifully? You betcha she does. She has some great stuff in this score that I really, really enjoy listening to. But Bernadette Peters is not, for lack of a better word, a frumpy housewife who is jealous of Jan Maxwell. Bernadette Peters is a vivacious woman who deserves to be in the Phyllis role, but it's not as showy, so I get why she was cast in the role she was. Overall, I think this is a really strong version. I'm giving it a B overall, and this is where the perhaps controversial opinion comes in, where I think this is a great version to listen to for the very first time. If you've never listened to Follies, this is the version I would actually recommend people listen to. And the reason is because they include on this album a bunch of the book. There are specific tracks that kind of fill in the gaps of what is happening into the lead up of the song. And I get it, when I'm on shuffle, like, I don't want to hear those parts. But if you're coming into this show trying to figure out what is going on, this is a great one to do. I wish I had actually listened to this years ago, because it would have made the show make so much more sense to me. It also makes the ending so much more clear about what is going on with Ben's breakdown, him yelling Phyllis, that whole conversation that me and William White had during Live, Laugh, Love would have been not needed, because it's so obvious what is actually going on when you listen to this score. This rendition also includes, in that Live, Laugh, Love, someone yelling from the wings. So I'm assuming they were influenced by the Paper Mill Playhouse version. But it really adds to it. I think all of the singers are so good in this version. I just really love it. It just doesn't reach the level of the concert version for me. But it's very, very strong. As far as standouts goes, I just mentioned the ending. The entire ending piece, I think, works so, so well. Like, really, listen to, I think it's called Chaos on the album, but that's when, like, everything is going topsy-turvy, and then into, like, the last refrain and the ending of the show. It's just, like, you understand everything that is going on in that show. You actually hear the book sections of them talking back and forth with each other, and then the ending of the show happens. I will also say this is my favorite version of One More Kiss. I think if people often find that song too shrill and too old-timey, this is the version I would probably listen to. It still is very much in that operetta style. So if you just straight up do not like the operetta style, then there's not much I can do for you. But I adore it, and it's a good version of that song. And I think I'm going to be revisiting the 2011 revival here a lot more than I had before. And definitely, if I'm in the mood of, like, I want to be able to watch Follies without having a copy of Follies to watch, this is the one I'm going to put on. So that brings us to the 2017 London revival, and I've made no secret to this throughout our entire season how much I love this version. I think it's great. For me, It is my second favorite version of Follies. It is right behind the 1985 concert version, which is why I'm giving it the letter grade of A-. It's unfortunate because watching the film version, whoever was mixing that didn't do a great job, so the orchestra is often too loud in it. On the album, which is available to stream anywhere, you can buy it on most streaming platforms. And I didn't say that for the 2011 version, you can also do all of the above. Stream it in pretty much anywhere. You can buy it pretty much anywhere. They did such a wonderful job recreating Sondheim and his collaborators' vision of what that show was supposed to be. And so it's lovely. I just think everyone nails their performances. I think Philip Quast has such a beautiful voice. So I love listening to him sing the Ben character. Imelda Staunton is not a trained singer, from what I can ascertain, but she brings so much passion. Again, going back to that conversation about like best singer versus best performer, she just performs Sally in such a great, empathetic way that sometimes I think certain actors don't bring to it. Peter Forbes' buddy, like, basically looks like everyone's dad, so it's like he is like the perfect buddy. And then Janie Diaz-Phyllis is just phenomenal. She's exactly who you envision that character to be. And her version of Could I Leave You probably is my favorite version of that song. You also get Tracy Bennett, who sings as Carlotta, I'm Still Here, which is my second favorite version of that song. So it's like all those things that are just like, they're so close to eclipsing some of the other versions. I guess I don't really know what prevents it from like overtaking everything. I just think I can recognize that the 1985 version is probably closer to perfection. And this one is so close to reaching that same level. Losing My Mind, I think, is a standout on this. Again, it's not sung in the most beautiful of ways. I think that when you hear Barbara Cook sing it, when you hear Dorothy Collins sing it, those versions are probably better sung, but I love the way that this is performed. I really literally feel like Imelda Staunton is losing her mind when she sings this song. The other song that's a standout here for me is Who's That Woman? Where this version of Follies really turned me around on that song. It was one that it was like never a big favorite of mine. And then hearing it on this album, I was like, oh, this is what it can be. It's great. I love that version of Who's That Woman. It made me actually really love that song. Isn't that absurd?
Lord, 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 Lord. That woman is me.
Now, like I said, there are multiple versions of Follies out there. I don't know how many of the other ones actually have album recordings that were released. Certainly, they are not easy to find if there are albums out there that are floating around in the ether. But I would love you, everyone that's out there that's listening to this, I would love for you to tell me which album is your favorite, which renditions of the songs are your favorite. Is there an album that I didn't talk about that you have somehow that you would like to share with me in some unscrupulous of ways? Let me know, and we can definitely talk about that going forward. But that is going to be the end of our show. So thank you so much for listening. You can send emails to puttingittogetherpodcast@gmail.com. You can also follow Sondheim Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And you can support the show on Patreon by going to patreon.com/puttingittogetherpodcast. You can join the holy triumvirate over there of Jack, Todd, and Barry of helping support this show. Thank you to the Alberta Podcast Network, to CPA Alberta, and to Alberta Forest Products Association this week. Putting It Together is available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts from. So consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. Next week, we're going to be talking about a movie that Sondheim helped write. So, I'll leave that a mystery. As always, a big thanks to the great Chris Taniguchi, who designed the podcast artwork, and to Nick Driscoll for composing our theme music. Well, we've reached the end of our episode. Yes, I know. Goodbye for now.